Hello and welcome to another episode of Nonprofit Vision. This is Greg Nielsen. I'm the president and CEO of Nielsen Training and Consulting, where we work with nonprofit leaders and organizations in areas including board governance, strategic planning, performance management, and a whole host of other areas. And today I'm thrilled to be joined by Christine Robertson. Christine is a vice president at WIST Data Solutions. And we're going to be talking about donor data management, some leading practices, some pitfalls to avoid. And before I introduce Christine, just want to share, this is one of the topics that people reach out to me often about, and I see posted on social media all the time, which is, you know, around how do I know which data management provider, which donor software to go with? How do I know when I'm ready for a donor management software? Or I might be in Excel and managing my data, all these different ways. And so I'm thrilled to have an expert like Christine join the podcast today. Christine, welcome.
Thank you so much.
We're thrilled to have you join us today and appreciate you making time for the conversation.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
So, Christine, your background, tell us a little bit about your background at first, because I think people will appreciate that you really did come from the trenches when it comes to donor management. You have been where a lot of our listeners are. So if you could maybe talk a little bit about your background and how you got to WIST.
Sure. My first nonprofit job was here in Louisville, Kentucky at the Cabbage Patch. I was in school at the time, and they had a part-time opening doing data entry. And so I took the job and did it, and kind of just clicked with me. And after school, I ended up managing the database for a network of nonprofit radio stations. And from there, I went on and managed the database for a system of K-12 schools that had four schools in one umbrella. From there, I left and went to WIST, mainly because I really enjoy the challenge of fixing problems and teaching people. And you don't get to do that part in a nonprofit specifically, but it did give me a broad spectrum of social service, the arts, and education, as well as just a broad range of challenges to help solve in day-to-day work.
Had you always been a data person? Is that a position you were looking for when you joined the nonprofit sector?
It wasn't the position I was looking for. It was kind of the position I just fell into, but I fell in love with it. I think really nonprofit takes both sides. You need the front-facing people who can go ask for the money, and you need the background people who can make all the numbers work, who can make sure the thank you letters go out and track all the information about the donors. And I fell in love with tracking the information and keeping everything organized.
That's great.
I mean, that's where I landed.
That's great. As you mentioned, that is such a critical function within the nonprofit, is to make sure all of those mechanical things happen and happen in a timely fashion. But I imagine it's been helpful to you to have been on the user side and to have seen, you know, some of what you enjoyed as a user and some of what was a little bit frustrating to you.
I think so. I think it also helped me understand what development directors are looking for. Because I've learned how to translate that and what my bosses in the past were looking for. So it kind of helps me understand what questions to ask about what a client might want out of their database, as well as just what they're trying to put in.
In your experience, is there a difference typically between what the development director is looking for from the database and what maybe the executive director, CEO, is looking for?
Yes and no. I think the biggest difference usually comes from the CFO.
Okay.
There's often a lot of conversations around how do we set this database up so that we get the numbers the CFO wants, as well as the information the DoD wants. Sometimes those things are the same and sometimes they're really different. And just a big part of what we do sometimes is helping guide that conversation to say, we can track this information so that you can get everything and make everyone happy.
I imagine that's a lot easier to do on the front end than it is to kind of fix it after it's already been set up.
It is a lot easier on the front end, although that is something that we do, is help people fix it on the back end. But it's so much easier if you have it at the front end.
Well, that's a great segue. Maybe can you tell us a little bit about what you do at WIST? And it's WIST Data Solutions, correct?
Yes, that's correct. It really depends organization by organization. So in any given day, I could be training somebody brand new who's never used the database before. I could be helping rebuild a database that the data is messy and inconsistent, and helping build a system of consistency. Sometimes I could be helping import a large group of data into a system. I've helped migrate databases. So helping an organization as they change from one database to another to make sure that the new system will actually be set up to give them what they need. So it's kind of different every day, which I like. And it's really based on what are the specific needs for that specific organization.
So if we could maybe going, taking some of the questions chronologically, one of the first questions I often see is from a smaller or a newer nonprofit organization. Perhaps they're managing their donor data in Excel or Access. Maybe they just have a file somewhere. And how does an organization know when they're ready for a donor management software system?
I think almost as soon as you start asking that question, you're probably ready to look into it. One of the big misconceptions is that they're all expensive. Some of the smaller databases are actually pretty reasonable. I can't really quote prices just because I don't work with salespeople, but as of about a year ago, there was a product on the market that was about $30 a month, which is probably in most organizations' budgets. I say that to say where that would give you an advantage over Excel is the products are built with the mindset of how to track thanking a donor, how to track when you ask the donor, how you ask the donor, and being able to see all of your gifts on one donor record instead of in an Excel spreadsheet where if you want to know when this donor gave the last time, you've got to sort it and you've got to hope that you didn't skip a column when you sorted it. It's also more secure just because you don't have as many people able to open it and change it and things like that. So just for the data security and for the functionality, I think once you really get underway, it's definitely one of the first things I would encourage an organization to start looking into.
I imagine the data security is a big issue today. I think we hear a lot about it. We read a lot about it. Maybe talk a little bit about the importance of data security when it comes to donor data.
Right. It is such a big deal. We have so many responsibilities with making sure we're compliant. And one of the nice things about any reputable company is that they're doing a lot of that on the back end for you. PCI compliance is the law, and it has been for over 10 years. And the credible softwares are all going to have that in place for you. So if you're using their software, if you're putting credit cards in immediately and not writing them down, it helps you stay compliant as well. It also helps when you have things that are encrypted and software that you have to log into just to protect that information so that you know you're doing everything you can to take care of the people who are supporting your mission.
When you work with a smaller and newer nonprofit that is making that transition from not having any software system in place to looking at a new software, what does that intake process look like for you? What is some of the information that you're looking to get from the nonprofit, and how do you kind of evaluate what their need is at that moment?
First of all, I would start with what kind of organization are we talking to? What are their fundraising models? So are they event driven? Do they have a membership base? What kinds of things like that do they already have built into their system? And how do we need to track that? There are so many different software options and none of them are right for everybody. I think sometimes people get into this idea that one product is just amazing and it's perfect for everybody, and that's not true. The type of organization that you are is going to really influence the needs that you have, and those needs influence what software is going to do the best job for you. Some products really don't do a good job of tracking a membership, and if you have a membership model, then you need to look for something that does it well. I would also say that salespeople will tell you their product does everything. And I don't want to say they're lying, but I would always try to find somebody using it and somebody like you using it to verify how well it does what they say it does. I don't think that they always have the full picture in mind. They just have a quota to meet sometimes.
Got it. So it's important to talk to someone and have them really understand the intricacies of your organization, because depending on whether you're more event driven or more, you know, donor mailings or, you know, annual appeal driven, that can really change the equation of which product is right for you.
Absolutely.
So you mentioned events. When you look at a donor management system, do they often integrate well with events, or are you sometimes looking at two different products at that point?
That totally depends on what product you're looking at. Some of the three that I'm the most familiar with are Little Green Light, eTapestry, and Razor's Edge. Razor's Edge has an optional module for events. So if you're events driven, you would need to look at the optional module. eTapestry, that's the least of the three that I know. I'm pretty sure it doesn't have an event plugin at all. But Little Green Light does have one built in, and that's part of what comes with it. So that's where I would say looking into what your needs are first and seeing what they have would play into which one of the softwares could work for you.
Do you, when you're working with a nonprofit that's moving to a donor management software for the first time, how important is it to consider their website? Are you often talking to an IT person? Are you often talking to the executive director? Or is that not really a concern?
The thing that I usually would have to talk to them about with a website would be more the donation page. A lot of software now has the functionality of a donation page that links into their database.
Okay.
The three products that I've been working with all do. And from what I can tell from across the market, it's becoming more and more standard. I believe Donor Perfect does. I believe Bloomerang does. I can't say that for sure, but I think they do. One of the things that I keep finding at nonprofits is that their database actually has a donor page that would integrate into the database if it was on the website. But often they're paying for something else. And so they may be incurring extra fees, as well as they're paying for they're paying for the same functionality twice. So unless there's something that you need a donation page to do that your database's version doesn't do, that's definitely something I would encourage people to pay attention to save themselves money.
Great. So that's an opportunity to look for some efficiencies too.
Absolutely. But that's about the only part that I've had to do with a website is things like that, things that integrate into the database. So sometimes event registration forms, donation pages, e-newsletter signups, but that's pretty much the extent. And those are usually in the form of embedding JavaScript into a page or something like that.
Got it. So now moving on down the road, let's say we have our organization that has a donor management system, but for whatever reason, either they've outgrown it or they might not be happy with it and they're looking to switch to a different one. What advice would you give that organization as to how best to prepare for transitioning their data from one system to another?
The first thing I would want them to look at is why is it not working right now? Sometimes it really is a matter of you need some functionality that you don't have. And at that point, then I would say try to get your data as clean as you can. Prepare your plan for your migration. Do as much research as you can and bring on as many experts as you can to get the smoothest conversion, because conversions are never easy. I would also say that I do think there are a lot of times where organizations are frustrated with their database and they feel like their database is the problem. But the problem is a combination of bad data entry and lack of staff training. I have gone into organizations several times where that's the case, and they're convinced that their software can't do a list of things. The reality is the software could do those things, but no one knew how to do it, and they were so frustrated that they just signed a contract and moved on. I think that it's kind of weeding through all of those things and figuring out what really is going on But inevitably, if you are converting, trying to get your data as consistent as possible will make a huge difference. Because if it's inconsistent in one system, it's probably going to get worse in a second.
I hear that phrase, clean up your data or make sure your data is as clean as possible. What do you mean when you talk to organizations about that?
For me, that really is a lot of consistency. So it's if you have a golf event and you are tracking that event using a fund event, that they all have that same fund. Building a process so that you can run a report and know that you have included everyone who meets that criteria or every gift that meets that criteria. Often I can tell by looking at a database when staff changes have happened because this person used this code and then they left and someone else came in and they started using another code. And so making sure that there's a set of rules and systems that are always adhered to.
So that would, it would be real important, I would imagine, to document some of those processes so that there can be consistency.
Absolutely.
Well, you mentioned staff training. Is that something that many or most of the software providers provide themselves, or are there outside sources that people go to kind of get their staff up to speed on how best to use the software?
I think that's a both question. The answer to that for me would be both. I haven't found a software program that doesn't offer at least some training. I know that part of what we do as a company is we do offer training in addition to the companies that we consult on, partly just because we're able to offer a different kind of training. So I think there's value in getting training from your software company. I think there's also some value sometimes in finding a third-party consultant who has been in the trenches, who can sit down next to you, look at your specific data, and train you on what you already have, instead of just here's theoretically how our product works.
Right, right. So when organizations approach you at WIST, what are some of the common questions or concerns that they're approaching you guys with?
A lot of times it is helping them solve a specific problem. They may realize that they need to run a certain report, but that when they try to run it in their database, there's a lot of things that don't get pulled. And so trying to figure out what's going on, why are we not able to run this report? Can you fix it? We have been pulled in to help integrate different data that was not put in during an initial conversion, or to train staff members. A lot of organizations will realize that they have a product and they don't know how to get everything out of it that they were told that it could do. And at least for us, a lot of that comes from people who say, I really don't want to take a class online. I want a person sitting in the room with me. And so we're able to do that in a way that is more efficient for some organizations than the software company. And then we do a lot of training people when they hire a new staff member. Just when they say we need somebody trained up and no one on our team is able to do the ground up training to get the in-depth picture of the database. So we'll do that. I think I answered all of that.
You did, but you brought up an interesting point, which is around staff members and staff turnover. And we know within nonprofit organizations, you know, similar to all organizations, there is staff turnover. So when an organization is looking for a new staff member who's going to be managing their donor data, what are some of the qualifications or some of the characteristics that you would recommend they prioritize?
I would recommend that that position be treated a little bit more as a fundraising professional than an administrative assistant. I think looking for someone with some professionalism in that area will make such a difference in their understanding of how the data is going to be used, and also may help with the longevity of the position. I personally, when I've sat in on some interviews, I really look for people who like to solve puzzles, who like order and consistency, people who want to learn and like to learn and ask good questions, because you want your database person to be thinking critically about fundraising and about how this data is going to work for fundraising. You don't want someone who's just going to put some information somewhere just because, well, at least it's on in there. You want someone who puts it in a place saying, this place will work for this because I can pull it back out and use it for XYZ. I think sometimes that position is one of the most underappreciated in nonprofits. And yet I think it's so valuable to the long-term effectiveness of an organization to be able to report, to be able to write grants, to be able to know their donors and communicate with their board and really just accurately show what they're fundraising and how they're spending it and all of those things in one area. So I'm a big firm believer in the importance of a good database manager.
I think that's great advice, because especially the organizations that I've seen manage their donor data really well, it allows them to build really strong relationships with their donors, even down to knowing, you know, their donor's birthday or knowing important milestones in their family or their children's lives, and being able to reach out and have normal, you know, human conversations and recognition events that are meaningful.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a client actually that tracked whether or not people were U of L or UK fans.
for those who are not in Kentucky, that's University of Louisville and University of Kentucky, which is a bit of a religion here in the state of Kentucky.
It is, and they tracked it because they were using it every time there was a big game between the two. They did a fundraiser to see which set of fans could raise the most money. And so they would do targeted email blasts to say, you know, which team are you going to support? And I thought that was just a really creative idea and great way to know your donors, to say, reach out to the right team and say, are you going to support this team? Are you going to help us raise money? And I thought that was really cool and really detailed, but a fun thing to do.
Absolutely. And in an environment where there are so many nonprofit organizations competing for resources, you know, to be able to set your organization apart like that and build those kinds of unique and individual relationships with donors can often propel your organization ahead.
Yeah.
So often I've seen, you know, there's been a lot of growth around the country in these, in social giving, what I call. So whether that be on Facebook or whether that be through your, you know, kind of give a day in your state or community. Are there any things that organizations, nonprofits should be aware of when it comes to those giving days and their data and software? What are some best practices there that you could recommend?
Yeah. The first one I would say is make sure you know whether or not you are responsible for giving a tax receipt or whether or not the entity is giving a tax receipt. So a lot of the give days come through things like GiveGab or Network for Good. Network for Good actually issues their own tax receipts. So you don't want to issue a tax receipt if Network for Good has already issued a tax receipt. Lots of IRS complications if you do. So that would be my first level. The second level is kind of figuring out how much information they're going to actually give you back about your donors. I have not actually seen what Facebook sends, but I've heard from other people that Facebook does not really provide very much information to the nonprofit about the donors. So if that's true, I would be a little hesitant to encourage people to use that on behalf of my organization. I would prefer to use something that would provide us with information about the donors. Wouldn't turn down money, but I would be more inclined to say I'd want to see more information so that you can long-term steward the donors.
That's great advice. And I've seen, you know, Facebook, am I correct? They recently added the ability to have a donate page or to have a, you know, kind of, I see on Facebook, the feed, people doing little mini fundraisers for different organizations.
I have seen it a lot. I have not seen the back end of it. So I don't know what they provide to the organization. I don't even know for sure what fees are on that. So I would encourage an organization to really look into that and see if it's to benefit you more than having someone share a link to your organization's donation page.
Right.
I think the link to your donation page is probably going to be better for your organization. But at the same time, if someone goes on their own and does a fundraiser for their birthday, I would not turn down the money, of course.
That's right. But that's great advice for nonprofits. As they communicate with their board members, with their volunteers and supporters, because of the rise of social giving, to really think through from a donor relationship standpoint, can you give your supporters tools through your donor management software or through your website, your donation page, that makes it easier for your organization to track that donor data and build lasting relationships over time?
Absolutely, which is, I mean, so critical to what you do is knowing who gave. So I don't know that for sure. I don't mean that to say they don't give it, but I have heard that, and I would definitely want someone to check that out.
Absolutely. Christine, we really appreciate your time today. Those who want to learn more about WIST or perhaps talk to you directly about their donor need, their donor management needs or their data needs, how can folks reach you directly?
My email is christine@wistdata.com. That's C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-E. @wistdata.com.
Christine, I really appreciate you joining the podcast today.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a lot of fun, and this is Greg Nielsen from Nielsen Training and Consulting. Those of you who are enjoying the podcast, I encourage you to visit us on iTunes, visit us on the website, leave us a comment or review. Also, please feel free to email me directly at Gregory, G-R-E-G-O-R-Y, @nielsenconsults.com. That's NIELSENCONSULTS.com. You can email me directly with your ideas for the show, potential guests for the podcast, or any other question that you might have for your nonprofit if there's opportunity for us to work together in the future. So, Christine, thank you very much and have a great afternoon.
Thanks, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.